Sorry for my awful background. My wife is in the other room, you know, dinking around. So I just had to do it in this room.
You know, I know some good real estate agents in Brentwood that might be able to help you find a bigger house.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not one of them. So let me know. Let me know who they are.
I mean, I come down there and help you.
Okay, good.
Even give you a good referral feedback on it towards your closing costs.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So we'll just jump right in. You know, I want to congratulate you. I didn't join in on the bandwagon of congratulations now, bam, at 1 year, but congrats on that. It's
thank you. Doesn't need much congratulations. It's just a year of making content. Nothing that insane, but it's been a really cool ride so far.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing great.
Thank you.
So I jump right into some of the questions. We're going to keep this to 30 minutes today, max, and try and be done. But, you know, I sent you the Spark message that we sent out, and, you know, we're really into being positive, upbeat, you know, mental roadblocks, this, that, and the other. And so the first question I really wanted to ask, well, you've been doing all this stuff with BAM, is what was one of the biggest roadblocks you faced while starting a broke agent and growing the business? What'd you do to overcome it?
One of the biggest roadblocks was definitely naming it the broke agent. That was one of the more disastrous moves at the beginning. It definitely hurt my real estate business because I was too focused on creating content for a brand that basically spat in the face of what I was trying to do real estate wise. But doing real estate actually fed the content of the broke agent, and the broke agent kind of kept me positive in doing real estate stuff because I was working towards something by building the broke agent, and I wouldn't get too depressed or down when I was dealing with client issues. So I think the biggest roadblock at the beginning was just the general acceptance of the brand. I think a lot of people were very skeptical. They didn't want to share anything that said the broke agent, which is understandable back in 2015, 2016, when it started. If you're an agent and you're sharing something about agent to client grievances and it says the broke agent on it, your clients are probably like, what the hell is this person doing? They're giving away their secrets and they're making me look like an ass, basically. So I think there was a lot of agent pushback at the beginning with the brand, but fought through it just by posting consistently and just it getting generally accepted by people because they're like, all right, this is becoming a staple in the real estate industry. This is funny. This is someone sharing their grievances. This could be a place of solace for real estate agents as opposed to a negative in our industry. So it took a couple of years for people to come around, but once they did, it really blew up.
So when you started transitioning from just memes to different content where, you know, broke agents are now BAM started producing other stuff, you know, and even into video, you know, how did you transition that? Like what was
took a long time. I mean, I transitioned along with the way these apps also transitioned. So the first evolution basically was it was used to just be screenshots of tweets, and our logo was a dilapidated house, and that's all it was. And then it turned into a cartoon, and then it turned into this key. So as Instagram matured and evolved, and video became how people wanted to consume content, in order for the brand to grow, I knew that I had to do video. So it basically switched from just memes to video memes, which are now Instagram reels. And then I realized that I had to be on camera way more because that's what the Instagram algorithm wants. That's how people get to know you, like you, trust you. If it's just no one behind the brand and it's just this key logo pumping out stuff, people aren't going to buy into what I'm doing as much. So that's really where that came from. And then in terms of what we are with BAM now, that evolution took 9 years. So I started the broke agent, I guess end of 2014, beginning of 2015. And it took a lot of growth to build that brand trust, where I slowly started moving the needle when I started doing eBooks to help agents with Instagram growth. And that was kind of like the first move where it's like, all right, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about outside of just making real estate jokes. And that had helped me build my email audience. And then I started doing some blog posts. And then I started the podcast with Matt Leonetti, the Overass podcast. And then once we started getting guests there, that kind of opened the doors for an entire media company. And then I saw what Byron was doing with real estate news. And I was like, we got to combine forces because I have no idea what I'm talking about with real estate news. Byron, you know, is great at disseminating that information. I'll do the funny marketing stuff. Let's combine and create BAM.
There you go. So if you were starting from scratch as a real estate agent now, you know, a lot of our people here, they've got Instagram profiles that are, you know, running pictures or doing this. And, you know, even myself, like, I'm slowly embracing video and getting in front of a microphone and, you know, having conversations with people. But if I was starting from scratch, or if you were starting from scratch right now, what would you do as a real estate agent to, you know, really push into social media?
I would consume an enormous amount of content. I would literally go on the Broke Agent page and check out who I'm following. Those are all the agents who I think are doing an incredible job with content creation. Follow Glenda Baker, follow Taya DiCarlo, Byron Lazine, Dan O'Neill, Matt Leonetti, and check out the sort of content they're creating. It doesn't have to be funny content, of course, but I get, you know, 50% of my ideas from other meme pages, from other accounts. That's where a lot of my inspiration comes. And I think about how I could replicate that post style. So if you're just sitting in a vacuum, you know, in front of your computer trying to come up with content or trying to make videos, that's not going to happen. Like, you need to create videos once you get inspiration from something. And my best inspiration either comes from other people or from when I was actually doing real estate activities. You know, I guess up until like 2 years ago when I got out of production, all of my ideas came from actually doing real estate, from sitting open houses, sitting inspections, dealing with clients, you know, any sort of phone call I could kind of twist into content. So, you know, all the questions your clients are asking you, whatever that frequently asked question is, turn that into an Instagram reel hook, turn that into a TikTok video. So the more real estate activities you do and the more stuff you write down, that's what's going to inspire the content. So consume and then do activities.
Now, some of the accounts that you talked about, you know, Glenda Baker or Taylor or, you know, Matt, all these, they've got their, where they really are kind of speaking to two different audiences, because they're trying to really build a network of multiple real estate agents following it for, you know, information, because they're going to get the referral back. But they also put out content that is kind of geared towards their sphere of influence or who their, you know, potential client is, you know. So how do you choose, you know, which way to take your account, like,
yeah,
know, specifically like Instagram, because there is, you know, speaking to the target audience. I don't think I do a good job of it. I talk about real estate. I talk about Dora. I talk about this. I talk about that. My page is all over the place, where I feel like my page really doesn't bring a lot of value to the people that see it, which is probably why my engagement is, you know, on the lower end.
Yeah, I think you got to have a two-pronged attack. I mean, you're not going to be a Matt Leonetti where 90% of your audience is agents and you're getting agent-to-agent referrals. That's unsustainable and, you know, not possible for a lot of agents, because he's creating such funny, ridiculous, shareable content. Taya does a great job, like you said, because she does very, very hyper-localized stuff. So I think agents definitely need to focus on that. And their first thought should be, how do I provide value to my clients, to the actual people in my market? A great way to do that is to do local green screens, to do a green screen Instagram reel or TikTok, where you're sharing an article or sharing something about a new development or a new restaurant or a new business, and using that information to talk to your actual clients. If you want to get other agents to follow you, that has to be agent to agent content. So maybe you're talking about agent to agent grievances, or you're sharing, you know, an annoyance about Zillow or something like that. Like, obviously you don't want to do agent to client humor where you're making fun of your clients, because that will hurt your audience and your clients will think that's ridiculous that you're doing that. But anytime you could share something about why you're dealing with another agent and this sucks about what this other agent's doing, not only is that good content for your clients, because your clients are like, well, my agent doesn't do that, they're communicating with me perfectly, and then other agents will pick up on that as well. So if you're not just doing like producing the content, you should be commenting on a lot of pages that agents follow to get other agent followers. So go on The Broke Agent, go on Now BAM, go on Inman News, go on Housing Wire, go on The Real Deal, Tom Ferry's account, Dan O'Neill's account, Matt Leonetti's account, and leave comments, and then try to network with other real estate agents. So that way you start building a following of agents, and that's where you get a little bit more agent to agent referrals. But I think that the first focus should be that hyper niche local information that your clients could get, because that's really where you're going to get the most value. It doesn't really matter if it gets less engagement than something that's agent to agent, because you're still popping up in people's feeds.
Well, it's interesting you said to go into those other accounts and leave comments. And, you know, I said once that, you know, there's, you know, it is called social media, right? And I think so many of us are essentially social introverts where we don't want to go and engage with the stuff. We just want to look at the photo, not do the heart, not do the likes, you know, not leave a comment, which, you know, is a little bit more social extrovert. And, you know, I've personally really struggled with that. Like, I don't want to go and leave a comment on stuff unless it's something I really like. But there is creating the visibility that I did like something, because if you liked it, it's going to show in the heart. If I leave a comment and the comment is something impactful versus just stupid, you know, especially if you're just trying to be a troll.
That's how I built a lot of my audience. Don't knock that. But I was coming from the broke agent page. So when I would comment on Tom Ferry's account or Inman News or any of these other meme accounts, I was trying to be a troll. But that was kind of like the persona. But totally agree. If you leave something,
there is this social introvert versus social extrovert. You know, and there's almost a fine, you know, line in between of where you should be. And I think the social extrovert being out there and commenting on stuff and being engaged in social media is this next step that I think a lot of people do miss.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I built a lot of my audience, is I spent so much time. This is back in like the 2015 days where you could like a ton of photos at once. I would go on #realtor, #realtor humor, #open house and spend all day just liking photos so that they would see the broke agent name pop up and then hopefully follow me. And then I would spend the other half of my day commenting, and then I would maybe just post once a day. So I got like the majority of my audience at the beginning from that social outreach. And just like you said, if you're not responding back to people in comments or liking people's photos or engaging with them in DMs, they're going to be so less likely to engage with you. So if you really want the best engagement hack, it's actually engaging with other people. It's not doing anything specific on a post.
Good info. Okay. Authentic or production quality? What do you recommend?
Combination of both. I think people buy into your brand more when the production quality is good. Mr. Beast talks about this. I don't know if it's called like input bias. We literally just talked about this on the walkthrough. I might even have it right here.
Yeah, it was some, yesterday, right?
What's that? Yeah, it's something about like when people know that you've spent a lot of time on a video and they could see the quality, they're more likely to trust you. If you're in your basement like I am right now, if I was producing videos like this, I don't. There's a little echo there. We good? I think you're on mute now. Okay. And then the authenticity portion, I mean, no one's going to engage with your content if they think that you're just, you know, a robot reading off scripts, but your production quality is high. I see a lot of agents trying to replicate that same style of video with the captions popping up, and they almost look like hostages because they're like, I know this is what I have to produce and I have to do content and it has to be high quality. But if there's no authenticity coming out and there's no personality and it's nothing about what you actually enjoy talking about, and you're just reading a script from KCM or something like some other agent wrote you, that's going to come across. Like, people could feel when content is just being produced to produce. So I think the answer to your question is half and half. You want to have good production value, but you also want to be authentic. But you could get good production value literally just from your iPhone and a microphone. It costs nothing.
Yeah. Well, and we set up our studio downstairs in our basement, you know, really trying to give our agents a little bit more opportunity to go and create that, you know, almost that studio quality, you know, thing.
Yeah, that's huge, because they're like, a huge roadblock for agents is, well, I don't have a mic, I don't have headphones, I don't have a camera, so I'm just basically not going to do any content creation. But the fact you set that up, that should be really encouraging for everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so advertising on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good to boost a post? You see a lot of people boosting a post or sponsoring a post. Is that relevant?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really boost that many posts. I do it for a template platform that we have called Coffee and Contracts, but I only boost posts when that post performs well initially. So I'm not going to put a bunch of money behind something that is flopping, even if the listing video isn't doing well, or if like, then you're just spending so much money to try to get clicks from something that people don't already like. So you're going to get way more engagement if it's something that's already popped off. So there's this guy.
Let it go, see how it's going to perform, and then put the money behind it.
Exactly.
When you post it.
See how it performs for, you know, 5-6 hours. If it's one of your best performing pieces of content, you're going to want to utilize that content for so much. You're going to want to embed that piece of content into a blog post. You're going to want to send that piece of content out in an email. You're going to want to boost that post, because otherwise the half-life of your post, you know, lasts about 5-6 hours and people engage with it and then everybody forgets about it. Maybe you could chop it up and use a different hook and then, you know, tweet it out, post it to Facebook. Like whenever you have something really good, we try to use that piece of content like 4 or 5 different ways.
So you talk a lot about a hook. What is a hook?
A hook is something that engages someone in the first couple of seconds. So if you're filming a video and you say, here are 3 reasons why you should buy right now, that's a hook. A hook is something that gets people to stop scrolling and gets people to pay attention to your video. And without a hook, no one will watch your video.
But it's with energy too, right?
Yeah. You can't just be like, here are 3 reasons why you should buy a property and you're half, you know, falling asleep. You have to, like, there's 2 types of hooks. There's verbal hooks where you say something, and then there's visual hooks as well. So there's a guy, Chris Benjamin, that you could all follow, where he pops in the bottom of bathrooms, like porta potties. He'll jump out of a trash can. He'll literally like be flying in the sky or something. And then that gets everybody's attention as opposed to what he's actually saying. So you could come up with a lot of creative ways to get people's attention.
I got no problem bringing in a clean porta potty and putting it here that people can pop.
Yeah, that's one I don't necessarily recommend. He literally like goes on the ground of a public restroom and like pops up and is like, hey, let me tell you about interest rates. But it gets everybody's attention, so it's pretty cool.
No dice.
Yeah.
Is Snapchat still a thing?
It's still a thing. I mean, people, it's like more of a messaging platform, I feel like, for Gen Z. I can't really talk too much on Snapchat except for I use Snapchat stories a ton in 2016, and that really helped me utilize Instagram stories. So if you see something on an app that's really popping off or a feature that really makes sense for people, I do recommend that using that, because you know that Instagram and Meta or TikTok are going to start adopting that feature. So I would definitely credit Snapchat for my ability to easily transition into Instagram stories.
Interesting. Okay, so this one's a little different. I don't think I prepped you on this one.
I just have nothing to say.
Yeah,
I literally wrote all these answers out. I like Joey, by the way, because Joey's actually like affirming everything that I'm saying and nodding his head, so it makes me feel good. I'm just staring at him the entire time. Thank you.
There we go.
I'm taking notes on it too. That's why.
Yeah. There we go.
How can social media have an impact on the real estate market? Do you think the message that the real estate industry has been sharing over the past years has helped the real estate market or been a contributing factor?
I think there's definitely a memification of the real estate market that possibly has influenced. Like from 2020 to early 2022, the only content being shared was like, oh, woe is me, buyer's agents, or there were 60 offers on this. There was 100 offers on this. So I don't know if there was actually any drip down effect from the fact that every agent was sharing these grievances, but it might have something to do with it. I don't know if it moves the needle at all, but it's obviously the real estate market that causes the content. And then it's kind of this cycle.
Interesting. Yeah. I think, you know, this kind of leads into my next one is, you know, date the rate, marry the house. Like that whole thing wasn't even a thing until social media came around and interest rates went up 6 months ago, a year ago. And all of a sudden this, you know, date the rate, marry the house, you know, really hit. And talking about 2-1 buy downs, look, I'm not a fan of the 2-1 buy down. I think they're absolutely horrible. I think that people are going to get underwater in 2 years when the rates, you know, pop back up. But I think that that did, you know, really impact a little bit of that through social media, you know, creating that fear that, you know, wasn't there or wouldn't have been there beforehand. Brianna, your camera's on. There you go. I think go ahead.
The date the rate, marry the house was like a huge wave. And then there was a huge wave of pushback against it. So this guy, Jason Cassidy, made a video saying, here's why I hate date the rate, marry the house. And then Tom Tool made a video. And then we talked about it on The Real Word and The Walkthrough. And then every agent was making a video about that. So there is like a, you know, contagion, as Byron always says, of agents that kind of replicate each other and replicate these talking points. So that was just cool from a content perspective to see all this enormous pushback right after there was this huge wave of people doing that content.
Well, and it's almost like the wave at a baseball game or at a, you know, sporting event. It starts small, right? Yep. And then all of a sudden you've got the whole stadium doing it. And that I think as an industry, we need to be careful about what we put out there, because there is going to have that wave, you know, ripple effect. Except typically, you know, ripples get smaller. I think as a wave around a stadium, it does get bigger and bigger and bigger and louder and louder. You touched on this about, you know, social media stuff and, you know, what we put out there, but a lot of our clients see what we're putting out on our channel. You know, like yesterday was 420. How many real estate agents were hitting a bong or, you know, smoking a blunt on 420? I didn't see too many, fortunately, and there wasn't too many jokes about it, you know.
I made a few on my page.
There you go. But, I mean, like, I wrote my daily spark as Snoop Dogg's perspective of real estate, but, you know, that was a little fun. I don't think very many people actually caught on that was a 420, you know, play. But your clients do really see what you're putting out there and what you're talking about, you know, and back to what you said, you know, making fun of a transaction that you're in, or, you know, I said this back in the, you know, real estate agents have a drinking problem, you know, article, that, you know, sitting down and writing a contract or a counter offer, a request for repairs with a glass of wine always isn't the best perspective for your client to, you know, see. Like, God, I'm stressing you out this much to drink. Like,
yeah, cocktails and contracts.
Yeah, I mean, coffee and contracts I think is okay, but
right,
the alternative. Okay, a couple rapid fire questions and then we'll wrap up and see if there's any questions. On Instagram, do you need to do hashtags?
No, hashtags are dead. No one cares about hashtags. If you are going to do them, you could do two or three specific to exactly what that post is. So you never want to do anything super broad, like hashtag realtor, hashtag real estate, hashtag open house. That will do nothing for you because there's millions of posts already on there. But if you're doing a open house in Santa Monica, maybe it's hashtag Santa Monica open house. That's a little bit more specific. Or if you're doing an inspection, you're doing a post about that hashtag has to be attributed to exactly what's going on. So if I do a succession meme, I'll do hashtag realtor humor, hashtag succession memes, hashtag succession. So it's kind of, you know, very specific, real estate based, and then to that actual show. But honestly, I wouldn't worry about hashtags at all.
Got it. How do you find trending music, and does it impact the algorithm if the music is turned down low?
I find trending music just by scrolling on Instagram and seeing what is most popular. Usually when you go to choose a song, also it kind of feeds you that trending music. I know there's actual apps that show this to you as well, but if you see a song that's consistently trending on TikTok or Instagram, just because you see a bunch of people using it, that's probably a trending song. I don't think it affects it if you turn it all the way down to zero. That used to be an engagement hack like a year ago. I feel like Instagram figures out the engagement hacks when people are just using a song that's not attributed to the actual video. But you always just have to think, like, I want to use Instagram as it's intended to use. So if that song has no relevance to what you're talking about, don't use
it. Pick it.
Yeah. And if that song has lyrics and you're saying something, do not use that song. Like, if you have the volume turned up to 50 and then you're combating with the lyrics of a Doja Cat song, like, that's going to suck. People aren't going to really understand what you're saying. So I would recommend searching a trending song and then the instrumental of that trending song, because that way you could hear it and you recognize it, but it's not interfering with what you're actually saying.
Got it.
There's so many agents that you watch their videos and the volume's on like 80. And you're just like, all I do is I hear this song. You're talking about interest rates and it just completely interferes with everything. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Huge influx of real estate agents now with the blue check mark. I'm sure Meta's value has gone up immensely since rolling that out. I've been hesitant to go and do it just because I feel like I still want to earn it versus buy it.
It's not going to happen. You should just buy it.
I know.
I've been trying. I'm not saying you suck. I mean, I've been trying 8 years to earn it and have all these articles and everything. It's near impossible. And now you're not going to be able to just earn it. So you got to buy it.
So is it worth it? Buy it or not?
I would say for agents, yes, because the eye is still trained where if you see a blue check mark and you make a comment on another photo, you're more likely going to click on that person's account than someone without the blue check mark. Also, it gives you direct access to someone at Meta Services, where if you have a duplicate account, which is an enormous problem for a lot of real estate agents, you actually have someone to talk to and hopefully can remove that account. And then, you know, it might just give you early access to features. Like, they're going to treat the blue check people more positively than they are the non-blue check people. So I recommend getting it. I can't get it yet because I'm a business entity and I have no specific driver's license that's associated with the broke agent brand. So I may never get it, which is ironic because that's all I've been trying to do my entire life. So I'm screwed.
You know, we can't just get you a fake ID.
I know, a fake broke agent ID. Exactly.
Well, I guess you could go and change your name in California for a minute to get the ID and go broke agent.
Yeah, that would. I think that's a little too much. I don't think that's worth it.
Not worth it. Omnichannel. You hear a lot about people being, you know, omnichannel, you know, multiple different platforms. If you're going to go Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, do you use the same content as it was created, or do you chop it up so that it has a different impact, different caption, different this to, you know, LinkedIn's a little more of a professional network. Do you write the caption, do the video differently for that stuff, but share the same, essentially the same video just chopped up differently?
Or yeah, if you want to do a short form video, I recommend filming it on your phone and then downloading it first. Or even if you're filming it in Instagram Reels, download it to your phone first so you can upload it organically to TikTok or Instagram. You don't want to post a TikTok, download it, and then upload that to Instagram Reels because that has the TikTok watermark on it. And Instagram will suppress that content because they don't want you promoting another app. So I would make sure you film it on your phone and then upload it organically to all these different apps. And use one little portion of the editing feature in each one, because then those apps recognize like, oh, this person's using this feature. Maybe I'll boost a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
it does. So use the feature on the app so it's native to the thing.
Exactly. Like, you don't want to use a TikTok caption on Instagram. You want to use a TikTok caption on TikTok. So just have the raw video and upload it organically to those apps.
Got it. So don't necessarily run it through captions and then run it through all the different channels. Like, using the caption feature in the native app is probably a little better than the alternative.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The jury's still out on that one regarding captions.
Got it. Well, those are the questions that I had. I saw Brianna had her hand raised.
I have a question. I have two questions.
Yes.
Okay. So first question is, like, you're the broke agent and you're talking about buying that blue check mark and you can't get it because your driver's license doesn't say that. I have the same situation. I'm the real estate mom and I keep seeing other influencers that I'm following changing their names if they were something other than their name back to their name. What are your thoughts on that? That's question number one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know my thoughts on that. I think maybe if you have the same uniform handle on everything, so you're the real estate mom?
I have it on everything. I
wouldn't change it because it's nice to have that uniform handle. Like, people probably know you and recognize as that. So I don't think right now the blue check is worth it for that transition. Like, having a uniform handle on all platforms is one thing that I'm so happy that the broke agent has. It's the same at the broke agent, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, everything.
Yeah.
So okay. I would keep it and let Meta evolve to the point where you'll be able to buy a blue check with that username.
Okay. And then my second question, and I know that this is probably something that other people are thinking about too. So I was like super great about posting, was getting tons of engagement. And then I had life happen. I got attacked by a dog and had a baby and I've not been good about posting. So like my engagement is super down. My question to you is, what's the fastest and most efficient way to get my engagement back up again? Because it seems like even though I'm posting regularly again, I'm not getting what I had before.
Yeah, I think what I talked about earlier in terms of DMing with people, DM is the most powerful form of engagement on Instagram. So before you post something, I would literally DM with 10 or 15 people after you post it. I would do the same. I would also go back to your post that you just posted the day before and like a bunch of the comments, if there are comments, and just engage with people, because then that will push your content to the top of people's feeds.
Even if I'm not getting a lot of engagement. Okay.
Yeah. Or I mean, just go to your followers' profiles and engage with their content.
Okay, that's great advice. Thank you so much for all of this valuable content.
Yeah, of course.
All right, one last question. Well, there we go.
Perfect.
Eric. Yeah, so by 9:30, thank you so much for joining us today.
Let me promote something real quick, Troy.
Yes,
if you enjoyed what I was talking about, we have an Instagram course that I teach in BAMX, which is the new platform that we just launched on Wednesday. And we haven't rolled it out to the public yet, but I told Troy I wanted to do this and talk about it real quick. It's going to be the go-to platform for on-demand real estate education. It's called BAMX. It's literally $10 a month. There's going to be a new course every month. The first course is my Instagram course. There's going to be a caption course, a green screen course. So Troy, I don't know if I could send you the link, but if people want to sign up for it, it's a no-brainer. It's a really good course, and I think everybody here would benefit from it.
Yeah, we'll definitely send the link out and share it and get some value out of it.
Awesome. Is there a place I could drop it in the chat?
No. Send it to me and we'll send it out. Yeah, drop it in the chat here and then we'll grab it and share it in Slack.
I don't know if there is a chat. Let's see right here. Okay, right there. So it's literally $10 a month, $120 for the year, but it is. And then you get access to our private Facebook group. I'm going to be doing live streams in it once a month. We're talking about stuff like this every single month. So if you got any value out of this, would mean a lot if you guys subscribed and be the first couple members in there.
Sounds good, man. Well, sweet. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the call today.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate you.
Chop it up and do something with it.
For sure. Later, man.
Later.
Bye.
Thank you.